Sure good to be with you again, to be able to come together and to open up God's Word and to study for a little while together. I have a few personal remarks I'd like to make, and I'll save those, if it's all right, for after the lesson. We'd like to talk about a passage in the book of Psalms, 119 and verse 160. This verse says, "The sum of thy word is truth. Every one of those righteous ordinances endureth forever." That's the way the American Standard Version reads. I normally read out of the New King James Version, and I'll be using the New King James Version for the rest of the scriptures, but I'd like to emphasize this. If you're reading this in the New King James, it would say the entirety of your word is truth. But when we think about the idea of sum or the sum, we talk about S-U-M, the sum. We're talking about a mathematical term, which means the sum total. The collection of all the things put together and added together. But when we talk about sum, we're talking about a portion. What is it in religion that you're looking for? Are you looking for some of what God's Word says? Or are you looking for the sum? Everything that God's Word says. What we learn from this passage is that the sum of thy Word, all of what God has to say on any matter, is what we need to search out and find in Scripture. Not just pick out a portion that we'd like to examine, that we'd like to look at, that we'd like to obey. If we were to talk about what it takes for man to be saved, we could find a list of many things that the Scripture says save. But we wouldn't want to pull any one of those things out all by itself. We'd want to examine the truth. We'd want to take the sum total of all of what God's Word has to say so that we could know what it takes for a man to be saved. We talk about the Bible plan of salvation. It is taking the sum of the different accounts in the book of Acts of conversion and the things that took place there. But I think that there are times in our lives when we just want to hear some of the truth. I love piano. I would love to be able to play the piano. I'm not talking about in worship. We'll talk about instrumental music another time. We know that that's not an authorized practice. But just as far as listening, for entertainment, I enjoy the piano. And I would love to be able to sit down and play piano for you. And when I got to college, I found out they offered a beginning piano class. I thought, great, I am going to learn how to play the piano. As I entered into that piano class, I found out that I just simply wasn't very good. Came a day, and it was a small group of us in the class, and the teacher decided that she was going to give us each some information that would encourage us, that would say something positive about the way in which we play. And so one of the students would get up there and say, "Oh, well, you play that very nice. You have very good skills with moving your hands in different ways at different times." And she told another student that they had a very good rhythm and that they had a good feel for the music. I get up and I sit at the keyboard and she says, "Paul, you have nice posture at the keyboard." Well, what's the point? The point is that she wanted to tell me something that I did well. But if she would have told me the sum, she would have said, "You probably ought to just give up because you're just not very good at this." I had a doctor one time that I really liked because he was very positive. You go in to see him and he'd say, "Oh, this is no big deal. We're just going to write you a little prescription here. We're going to take care of this and everything will be great." And he'd rip it off and you go out of there. You go, "Great." That probably wasn't the best kind of doctor to have. When you go to the doctor, what do you want to know? Do you want to know some of the truth? Well, your fingernails grow real nice. Or do you want to know the sum total? If you've got a serious problem that needs to be dealt with. Well, sometimes we want to know just some. But if we're going to have eternal life, if we're going to be pleasing to God, we must have the sum total of what God's Word says. The entirety. Let's consider King Saul over in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 15. You might like to read there in 1 Samuel chapter 15. We'll be noticing in particular verses 19 through 23. You recall that God had told King Saul to utterly destroy the Amalekites. In 1 Samuel chapter 19. I may have said that wrong just a moment ago. 1 Samuel chapter 19. To utterly destroy the Amalekites. Well, I did say that wrong because I read my notes wrong. 1 Samuel 15, verses 19 through 23. 1 Samuel 15, verses 19 through 23. Samuel comes to Saul and he asks him a question. Why have you not obeyed the voice of the Lord? Well, if we consider that, Saul in the yellow, he says, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I've gone on the mission that you sent me. I've utterly destroyed the Amalekites. I've pretty much done what God said to do. But he'd really only done some of what God's Word said to do. We consider that he brought back King Agag of Amalek, and the people he allowed to keep the best things, he says, to sacrifice to God. We learn that to obey is better than sacrifice. God is not pleased. He is not happy with our decisions on that matter. And King Saul, he kept some of what God's Word said. He destroyed an awful lot of Amalek. But he didn't do the entirety. He didn't do the sum of what God's Word says we must do. Many people want to give God what they want to give Him. They'll turn to the Scripture and say, well, the Scripture says make a joyful noise to the Lord, so I'm going to give Him the kind of worship I want to give Him. John 4:24 reminds us that God is a Spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. What we learn from King Saul is that partial obedience is really not obedience at all. When God gives us things to do, and we pick the portion that we want to do, what is that? In the end, if I do that, it's Paul Adams doing what Paul Adams wants to do, not what God has told me to do. Partial obedience really isn't obedience at all. Try that with the IRS. Go to pay your taxes and say, well, I obeyed most of the tax laws, and we'll be able to visit you somewhere else. We must take the entirety of what God's Word says, the sum total. There was another man that we read about in Scripture. If you'd consider the rich young man found in Matthew chapter 19. In Matthew chapter 19, you recall that there was a young man there looking down about verse 16, and he said, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said to him, which ones? Think about that. Which ones? Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And the young man said, all these I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. And when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. What are the commands? He wanted to keep some. He was okay with you shall not murder and commit adultery or steal or bear false witness. He's okay with honoring father and mother and loving your neighbor. Which ones? Do we sometimes ask God that kind of a question? God, what do I need to do to be right before you? Keep my word. Which words? Which commands? I want to pick the ones that I want. And Jesus talked to him about sacrificing, and he says, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. But he loved his riches more than he loved God. Partial obedience is no obedience at all. You remember in John 6 and verse 66 that Jesus had taught some difficult things, and it says that from that time there were some who went away and walked with him no more. We cannot pick and choose what areas we want to be obedient in. Consider in Romans chapter 11 and verse 22 what the Word of God says in that passage. Therefore consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fell severity, but toward you goodness. If you continue in His goodness, otherwise you'll be cut off. Have you ever considered the goodness and severity of God? We want to hear about God's goodness. We want to hear about how He loves us, and about His mercy, and His grace, and His truth. We want to hear lessons that upbuild us and lift us up. And those are important lessons because we ought to have a real sense for how much the Almighty God loves you and I. But we are not doing justice to the Scriptures if we only consider that. Because the Scriptures are replete with examples and commands and consequences of the severity of God. We don't always want to hear the severity. We just want to hear the good. We don't learn about the full nature of God by just considering one or the other. They want to only hear some of who God is. They want the love, the good, the mercy, the forgiveness, but God is a God of wrath. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Hebrews 10 and verse 31. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8 tells us that the Lord will come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who don't know God. You remember back in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, the Israelites lined up on Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim, the mountains of blessing and cursing. And God says, if you do what I tell you, I'm going to bless you, and you're going to have things just great. But if not, I'll curse you. If and if not. We want the blessing, but we don't want to realize that the cursing is there. What about you and I? Do we want the sum of who God is? That He is a God that is both severe as well as good? Or do we just want to consider the positive side, nothing more than that? There is nothing that I know that's any better to be on the good side of God and to know His peace and His safety and His salvation. But there's not a thing in the world that I know that's any worse than to be on the wrong side of God. To think of God as only good is to miss out on who God is. And I'm afraid that there may be a few who only want to focus on the severe side of God. There may be even some preaching brethren who really like to lay it down, bring the hammer down from God's Word, but never tell us about God's goodness. We have to have a balance. We have to know the truth. God is severe, and God is good. We need to make sure that we're right before Him so that we can experience that good side and avoid that severity. Consider another example with me. Gospel preaching. Let's look over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. A very famous passage of Scripture that you may have even memorized. The Scripture says, preach the Word. Be ready in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. The congregation here is looking for a preacher. What kind of preacher are you looking for? Are you looking for a preacher that will scratch your itch? Or are you looking for a preacher who will tell you the truth? On all things. Good, bad, everything. We see that there are those who want some of what God's Word says. In the yellow, they will not endure sound doctrine because of their own desires, because of what they want to hear. because they have itching ears. And when you have an itching ear, you have an ear that needs to be scratched, you'll find someone who will scratch that for you if you look hard enough. What you need to find is someone who will preach the word in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and teaching. Paul said in Acts chapter 20 that he had not shunned to declare the whole counsel of God and warn them night and day with tears. What kind of preaching is it that's needed? Think about the doctor. Is it the preacher who will tell you what you want to hear or what you need to hear? To hear only nice stories and encouraging thoughts, or to be constantly beat down, is not truly what gospel preaching is all about. Balanced preaching means preaching the sum of God's Word, not just some of it. How about you and I? What is it that we're looking for? Are we like King Saul? Do we want to obey the commands that we want to obey? Are we like the rich young man who says, "Which command should I keep?" Do we realize that God is good and He is severe? And could it be that in gospel preaching, we have a few itches that we'd like to have scratched, when we ought to be looking for the truth, the simple, plain truth? Tonight, we're going to extend the Lord's invitation. As you think about yourself and your soul, having heard God's Word, would you believe it? Would you repent of your sins, confess Christ before men, and be baptized into Christ? It's taking the sum of what God's Word says. Would you live faithfully before Him every day of your life? As we extend that invitation, I want you to think about what we read this morning in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Paul said there, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." God's Word, in its entirety, transforms your life. It changes you. And what's most important is it changes your eternity so that you can have hope and you can know the goodness of God. If there's someone here who needs to respond in obedience, we offer ourselves to you as we'll stand and we'll sing the invitation song.